This week's Torah portion is Vayigash. Now again, we're very close to the end of Genesis already, which surprises me, though it shouldn't. Again, if we were looking at the scroll, you would go Vayigash, Elev, Yehuda, that's of course Judah, Vaomer, Be, here is Adonai. Now again, Adonai in this case is being used in, as in a title in regard to Joseph that the brothers are using. So Adonai is not specifically not in Torah. In this case, it's used properly, not replacing specifically Yahweh's name. And then Vadaber Na, which would come, Judah came near to him and said, "Oh my Lord, please let your servant speak." Now, some of your scriptures might say, and he came to Joseph, and that's not completely wrong. It's just Joseph's name's not specifically used in this passage because he's already been coming to Joseph was speaking, now he's speaking to Joseph. Okay? So, there's so many things in this, but I wanted to focus on this concept. Goshen kept coming up in my mind. Goshen, Goshen, Goshen. And I looked up what Goshen was, and Goshen means to come near. To come near. And as I looked at it, it was like there was this negotiation going on. A negotiation of where was Israel going to live? And I think that there was a bigger negotiation than just between, say, Joseph and Pharaoh. But I truly believe this was a negotiation between Yahweh and Pharaoh. And we'll get to that in a moment. And I think there's a lot for us to take from it. So again, Goshen means to come near or to come close. Now, I wanted to give you an idea where we're starting from the Torah portion. So, Jacob was living up in this area. His father spent most of his life living in Beersheba. In fact, Beersheba is when he leaves to go and see Laban and then comes back. This is where Isaac spent most of his life, was in Beersheba. From Beersheba is a perfect location to actually leave from to go to Egypt because you're going to leave and stay on the border. All of this area here is desert. If you're on the border, you of course are going to get the evaporation from the sea, and that's going to have rainfall, so all of this is going to still be green. It's probably the safest way that for you to travel and have water and have something to eat. So for his journey, he's going to come down. He asks for Yahweh's permission in Beersheba and then travels to Egypt. Now, as he travels to come across, he's coming down, and Egypt, the Nile, actually has, there's five rivers or five tributaries that come down to actually make up, or the Nile comes up and it breaks into these tributaries as it goes towards the sea. And most of Egypt at this time is up here. You'll read Pithom and Ramses are built in Exodus. So these cities are not existing yet. You can go in Exodus and go looking for that, but you will find that in the first few chapters. I thought this was a really good view to see it from. You can see the dryness of the desert and just the green of these tributaries of where most of Egypt was living at this point. Again, Goshen is here. It's right on the border of the desert and the actual Egypt itself. Now, it's a part of Egypt, but realize it's on the outskirts of what is the Nile where most people lived. So, just to give you a bigger picture, notice all the different tributaries and one of the major cities at the time. And again, every one of these land masses in the middle of the river would have had huge amounts of vegetation. And this is important for us to understand. So, they're living here, they're not living here. Okay, so to come near Goshen. Now, I'm going to start with Genesis 45. Now, this conversation actually happens twice. I'm only going to bring up the one section. Okay, Genesis 45, verses 9 and 10. This is Joseph speaking. "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me.'" Again, that probably would be a word connecting there. "You and your children, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have." So notice Joseph is saying, bring everything you have and go to Goshen. What does Pharaoh offer? Now, there is a difference. Genesis 45, 17 and 18. "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan, bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you will eat the fat of land." So notice he's saying, bring your father, your household, come to me. I'll give you the best. Now, Genesis 45, 20, he continues and he says, "Do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all of the land of Egypt is yours." Now remember, Joseph said, bring it all down. Come live in Goshen. Pharaoh says, come live in the best part of Egypt. He didn't say Goshen. And don't bring anything. I'll give you everything. Now that's a big difference between the two of them. So we have two plans. Genesis 48, this is continuing, 28 and 29, and I'm trying to make a point that they were different plans, not just the same plan. It says this, "Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father, Israel. And he presented himself to him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck for a good while." And that makes sense for missing his father for so long, he gets to see him. 46:31. "Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, 'I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have.'" Notice what he's asking them to say. "So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' that you shall say, 'Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" Now, Joseph is telling the people, when you go to Pharaoh, I want you to say this. Now, it's interesting. Why does Joseph have to give them his speech? Why does he have to give them this speech to get them to live in Goshen if Pharaoh doesn't have a separate plan? Now, notice the point here is Egyptians find all shepherds to be an abomination. Now, I said, well, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if there's any more evidence to that. In regard to the Hebrews. And that led me back to this verse. Genesis 43:32. This is when the brothers went to meet the first time. And it says, So they sent him a place by himself and them by themselves. And the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. The Egyptians already saw that these are shepherds. Maybe they smelled. Remember, the Egyptians by this point were a very intellectual society. And they were very much about styling themselves. The Hebrews were not so concerned about that. I almost see it like part of Egyptian culture is coming into today. You have a TV today where here's a shaver for men, and they can shave the amount of hair that they have on their chest, to their arms, to match what image they want. Right? Like, we're trying to set an image by how we are instead of how we were made. Egyptians do the same thing. Now, so questions I had. Why does Pharaoh want to give them the best of his land? Now, the best would have been near Pharaoh. It would have also been close to all the priests, because the priests got the best. And Pharaoh took care of them. But realize, then who are the priests dependent upon? Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh provides for all their needs. Why does Joseph want Israel to live on the outskirts of Egypt? And again, point out, even though it's not in Scripture, the map points out they're on the outskirts of Egypt. Why does Joseph want Israel to be an abomination to the Egyptians? It seems like Joseph is pushing for them to be this. What did Pharaoh do to Joseph? I want you to think for a moment. The minute Joseph comes out of prison, it says that he was shaved, new clothes, and was brought. So imagine for a moment, if we took Richard here, because he's got the nice beard and mustache, and automatically to say he's shaved, he probably, his body would be shaved, his beard would be shaved to a certain way, his face would be shaved. He would come looking like a what? An Egyptian before Pharaoh. And then what did Pharaoh call him? He gave him an Egyptian name and married him to an Egyptian of the priesthood. So for Pharaoh to offer the best of the land, he would have been intermixing them amongst his priests where he was. Two separate plans. Exodus 19:6. I think this is Yahweh's plan. Why? And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Holy means what? Set apart. Different. Not the same. If Israel had been intermixed with the priests, looked like Egyptians, were then taken care of very well, how easy would it have been for them to leave behind all their traditions and just become Egyptian? Been very easy. Very easy. Leviticus 19:6. For I am Yahweh who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall be therefore holy because I am holy. Now, I see this in regard to John 17. This is Yeshua's prayer. And for a moment, I want you to think about Egypt being the world. Because they are. And if we take this and now look at this prayer with Egypt being the world and Yeshua's prayer, I think you're going to see Yahweh's plan. So this is John 17, 14 through 16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. What did they call them? They're shepherds. They were an abomination. For they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Verses 14 to 16. Sanctify or make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And again, they're being sent to what? Go live in the world. The point being, and it makes an interesting comparison. Here is Goshen. Goshen is on the brink of the desert and the fertile land. And we can really bring this into a metaphorical state. The desert is the idea, a place of going and making repentance, right? The fertile state is the reality of blessing. So for all of us, we're supposed to live in Goshen. We're supposed to live in a state where we're constantly able to look at ourselves and repent, right? But also enjoy the blessing of obedience. But why did he even bring them to Egypt? Why bring them there? Because you know he was the one in charge of the famine in the first place. Because he wanted to teach them lessons. Now, what's cool is in Genesis, it's like the beginning of a story. If you've read a novel, you know like the first half of that book is just setting you up with all the clues in a great mystery so that you can use those clues to solve it in the end. Well, guess what? Genesis is the beginning. Exodus is the continuation of the same story. Right? Watch this. Now, you think if Yahweh set up these great parameters, a culture, a law, they're an abomination, it'd be very hard for the Israelites to get infected, be apart, grow into Egypt, right? It'd be very difficult for that to happen. But look at Exodus 1:7. Now, I'm interpreting this a different way. And it could be interpreted two ways. It says this, "But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the what? The land was filled with them." What land? Was Goshen filled, or did they fill the land of Egypt? We don't know. But what we do know is when the first three plagues come, they come on all of Egypt. But after the first three plagues, he sets apart Goshen. This is Exodus 8, 22 and 23. "And in the day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. There are not swarm of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am Yahweh in the midst of the land, that I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this will be a sign." Goshen never had a livestock disease. Goshen never had boils. Goshen never had hail. Goshen never had locusts. Goshen never had darkness. And Goshen never had the death of the firstborn. Now, do you realize every one of these plagues was an opportunity for Egyptians to go, "I'm going to go live over there." Or people from other countries going, "I'm going to go live over there." Do you realize that every one of these plagues was a call saying, "Come live in Goshen. Come live near me. Draw near me." What does Goshen mean? To draw near. Right? So what if the Israelites had drawn out in Egyptians, the first three plagues was to bring them back to their roots? to bring them back to Goshen. I don't know. Either way, he drew them all to Goshen. Exodus 10:22. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all of the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I want to go back to this map. We draw near to be a light. We can't be a light living here. We have to actually be among the people. It doesn't mean Yahweh's given us a different culture, and boy, do you know it at this time of the year, right? He's given us a different set of laws. We seem strange everywhere we go. That actually is there to protect us from falling into the ways of the world. Go look up, if you get a chance, the world throughout the letters of Paul, and you're going to see the reality of Goshen and the teaching of Goshen here. But we have to be careful while we try to be holy. A lot of people think that there is pagan and there is holy, and we all strive to be holy. I think that's wrong. I think of it this way. I think on this end of the spectrum is pagan activity, do what you want. On that end of the spectrum is religious activity. You do things for yourself, but they look good religiously. Holiness is in the middle. Yeshua did not, Messiah did not go, oh, those are sinners, we need to go this way. He ate with them. He spent time with them. It didn't mean he took on their culture, but he loved them. Where they were, he wasn't changed. They were changed through his love. We're called to the same thing. We're called to the reality of Goshen. We're called to live in this existence every single day. And it's something we really need to know at this time of the year, where everywhere we go in a store, we realize we're not home. That's okay. We're still called to be a light. Amen. A light of love. Baruch Hashem.